What if the most dangerous substance in your kitchen isn't hidden in a locked cabinet, but sits openly on your counter in a ceramic bowl? We've spent decades demonizing fat, counting calories, and designing elaborate exercise regimens, all while missing the true culprit behind our modern health catastrophe. Sugar, that innocent-looking white crystal we sprinkle on cereal and stir into coffee, may be the most consequential dietary mistake of the industrial age. Unlike alcohol or tobacco, which society learned to regulate and stigmatize, sugar sailed through the 20th century cloaked in innocence, transformed from rare luxury into the foundation of our food supply. By the time we realized something was wrong, it had already rewired our taste buds, our food industry, and quite possibly our DNA. Sugar doesn't just taste good, it fundamentally alters brain chemistry in ways that mirror hard drugs. When newborns receive sugar water, their faces relax into expressions of pure bliss, their tiny tongues eagerly licking for more. This isn't learned behavior, it's hardwired into human neurology. Sugar floods the brain's reward center with dopamine, the same neurotransmitter released by cocaine, heroin, and nicotine. Laboratory rats, when given a choice between cocaine and sweetened water, consistently choose the sugar, and addicted rats will abandon cocaine within 2 days when offered sweet alternatives. This explains patterns we've normalized. Why candy consumption doubled during Prohibition, why parents reflexively use sugar to soothe children, why it's become the currency of childhood and parenting. We've woven sugar so deeply into love and celebration that questioning it feels sacrilegious. Yet sugar's addictive properties remain invisible because we never experience withdrawal. We simply never go long enough without it. By the 21st century, manufacturers embedded sugar into virtually every processed food, disguised under 50-plus different names. That healthy peanut butter? Sweetened. Your whole grain bread? Sugar added. Low-fat foods became sugar delivery vehicles as manufacturers replaced fat with sweetness. 10,000 years ago in New Guinea, humans first domesticated sugarcane, revering it so deeply that creation myths depicted humanity emerging from the union of the first man and a sugarcane stalk. For millennia, sugar remained a rare luxury, trickling into Europe with returning crusaders who discovered it in the Middle East. Medieval sugar was a royal luxury. Queen Elizabeth I's blackened teeth signaled her wealth. Its transformation to everyday necessity required slavery and industrial technology. Caribbean plantations made sugar as geopolitically vital as 20th century oil, with the triangular slave trade building New York fortunes through sugar, rum, and human cargo. By 1775, sugar comprised nearly one-fifth of British imports. Two breakthroughs accelerated democratization: temperate climate beet sugar and industrial refining that by the 1920s produced in 1 day what took a decade previously. As prices plummeted, candy, chocolate, ice cream, and soda engineered perfect delivery systems, doing for sugar what cigarettes did for tobacco. By 1908, Pepsi had 250 bottlers across 24 states, with Americans consuming over 3 billion bottles yearly and 100 pounds of sugar per capita. Sugar didn't just fuel obesity, it enabled the lung cancer catastrophe. Before 1900, only 150 lung cancer cases existed in America. By 2005, over 163,000 Americans died annually from the disease. The American blended cigarette revolutionized smoking by combining sugar-rich flue-cured tobacco with nicotine-heavy burley tobacco, candied up through sugar saucing. Tobacco leaves were soaked in honey, molasses, maple syrup, and licorice. This treatment made smoke acidic enough to inhale deeply, delivered nicotine efficiently to the lungs, and created sweet, caramelized flavors appealing to women and adolescents, previously untapped markets. By 1929, tobacco growers used 50 million pounds of sugar annually. The Sugar Research Foundation celebrated this marriage of tobacco and sugar in 1950, ignoring the public health disaster. One USDA official admitted that without sugar, the American blended cigarette, and with it, the tobacco industry of the United States, would not have achieved such tremendous development. Two addictive substances formed a perfect partnership, each amplifying the other's harm. By the early 20th century, physicians linked sugar to diabetes, obesity, liver disease, and cancer. One 1917 doctor noted schoolchildren consumed more sugar in penny candies than Elizabethan feastgoers ate monthly. Yet nutrition science became trapped in calorie counting. Obesity results simply from consuming more energy than expended. This energy balance approach dismissed contrary arguments as quackery. To the sugar industry, this was the gift that keeps on giving. If a calorie is just a calorie, sugar is no worse than any other food. When 40% of World War II draftees were rejected for medical reasons, primarily tooth decay, nutritionists declared sugar unquestionably the worst food. The sugar industry's response was swift. In 1943, they formed the Sugar Research Foundation with $1 million annually, funding Harvard, Princeton, and MIT. Their mission wasn't discovering truth, it was defending sugar. Borrowing tobacco's playbook, they funded friendly research, attacked critics, and created just enough controversy to paralyze policy action. By the late 1980s, researchers discovered that obesity, high blood pressure, high triglycerides, low HDL cholesterol, heart disease, high blood sugar, and inflammation weren't separate disorders. They were symptoms of metabolic syndrome. The CDC estimates 75 million American adults have this condition. The trigger? Insulin resistance, caused by sugar, particularly fructose. When the liver receives more fructose than it can process, it converts excess into saturated fat. Ironically, the same fat we've been warned causes heart disease. This fat accumulates in the liver, causing insulin resistance that spreads throughout the body. In a 2011 study, 29 rhesus monkeys given fructose-sweetened beverages all developed insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome within a year, with 4 progressing to type 2 diabetes. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease tells the same story. Once rare, it now affects 1 in 10 adolescents and 75 million adults, even appearing in infants. Growing evidence suggests liver fat accumulation may actually cause the insulin resistance at the heart of metabolic syndrome. Research on Native Americans revealed children born to diabetic mothers were 45% likely to develop diabetes by their mid-20s, compared to 1.4% for children of healthy mothers. High maternal blood sugar causes developing fetuses to overproduce insulin-secreting cells, programming metabolic damage before birth. How much sugar is safe? We don't know. Moderation is meaningless, a tautology that only makes sense in retrospect. We discover we've consumed too much when symptoms appear, often when damage is irreversible. In 1715, when consumption averaged 5 pounds annually, physicians warned women inclining to be too fat to avoid sugar. If sugar caused problems at 5 pounds yearly, what about today's 75 to 100 pounds? The Native American experience offers a sobering case study. In 1940, diabetes was virtually non-existent among Arizona tribes. By the 1960s, after integration brought dramatic increases in sugar consumption, diabetes rates exceeded 50% in adults, the highest recorded anywhere. Metabolic catastrophe compressed into one generation. The question isn't whether sugar harms you. The evidence overwhelmingly suggests it does. The question is whether you're willing to discover what life feels like without it. Your body isn't designed for 75 pounds of refined sugar annually. It's designed for occasional wild fruit, rare honeycomb, not the relentless biochemical assault of modern processed food.